This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show, and here is Mark Helm.
Let's talk about how a simple daily close from a self-storage facility can possibly give you all the information you need to begin negotiating intelligently with an owner without seeing financials and many of the other reports that these operating systems can offer. My name is Mark Hell. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the online training that I offer the small investor who wants to get into self-storage business or who wants to grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about what I have to offer at Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. Click the store to see the training I offer, and you can also click blogs, training for all the free training that I offer. Now, often as self-storage buyers, we are dealing directly with owners, not going through agents. And when we are able to successfully get in front of an owner or talk to an owner on the telephone, and we tell them we're interested in having a conversation about perhaps buying their property, they're very reluctant to give us a lot of the financial information we need to run a pro forma, such as unit mix, street rates, etc. And they're always, almost never willing to give you their financials. But what I've discovered is that if I ask for just a random daily close, hopefully from the last month or so, but just any day. Last time you closed it, last week, if you can give me a random daily close, I can take a look at it and perhaps be able to tell you what I think we'd be able to pay, or at least arrange to pay it. Often we'll say to the owner, what do you want for your facility? The owner will say, I don't know. Make me an offer. Well, you really, as you know, can't make an offer unless you have some information. You just can't look at a picture or look at the facility and say, I'll pay X for it. But I've discovered that a random daily close gives me all or most of the information I need to, one, see what it's worth, two, see how well the properties run, and where the upside might be. Now, when I first began to develop my chops using this technique, SiteLink was the big player out there. It had the majority of market share that weren't REITs. Now, since I first got going into self-storage business, a lot of other very good operating systems are now in place. And with some of these newer operating systems, you may need more than one report to get all the information I'm going to show you. But I'm going to show you some SiteLink reports, and there are still a lot of facilities out there using SiteLink. If you're talking to an owner who doesn't use SiteLink, by the end of this episode, you will know what other reports or what other information you may need. Now, what I thought I would do is show you a couple of closes from properties I've looked at. Frankly, I don't even remember them. I just went through my computer, and the first two that I found were what I'm showing today. And then I'm going to show you a third one from a well-run facility. Just so happens to be mine. Now, what we do is we have mostly attempted to buy small mom-and-pop type facilities if we're looking at an existing facility. And what you're going to see here might be an extreme example in one case, but this is often what we see when we look at mom and pop facilities. And I can get all this information off a one-page report. And when you ask for a random daily close, that does not like occur very intrusive. If I ask to see their P&L, that's very intrusive. Most owners, if all owners, won't give it to you, in your first conversation or so. If I ask them to give me what their unit mix is, what their street rates are, they're going to hesitate to do that because basically most of them don't know where to get it exactly, and they have to burn a lot of calories to do it. With the daily close, those pages or two-page reports are printed automatically every time they close out their project. And most of them close, you should be closing daily, but if you're not closing daily, most close a few times a week at least. So it's an unintrusive report to ask for. That is my experience. So let's take a look at a random daily close on a facility that I looked at. Here it is. So we're using a SiteLink report. By the end of this episode, if people are using other operating systems, and these other operating systems are good, I'm not saying this is better. The other operating systems are good as well. But I just know on this report, I get all the information I need, and it's on one page. So I usually start on the right-hand side of this management summary report, which is the name of the report that's printed every day when we would close out in SiteLink. This is the report that's printed automatically. I also had it set up. We have multiple facilities that this would be emailed to me daily from every facility. But if you look on the right-hand side at number one, what you'll see is that this is a 62,200 square foot facility. I really can't remember it. So I don't know if there was any parking involved in some of the square footage under rental units. Sometimes it is. If they have dimensions for the parking spaces, it'll be included in rented units in SiteLink. I suspect there may be a few because the rental rates are kind of low, as you'll see in a minute. But this tells me that 82.1% or 51,075 square feet of this facility are, quote, occupied. And then immediately down below it, number two, I see that 20% or 92 units are at least in the system overlocked. I don't know if they have locks on the doors, but they're showing overlocked in the system. The next place I go is the GPI in number three, or gross potential income, and it's monthly income. And for this facility, it's $37,389 a month. In other words, if every unit was rented at the street rate and everyone paid, the maximum rent, not revenue, but rent they would get is $37,389 a month. Multiply that times 12, I can quickly see that it's $448,668 is the yearly GPI. The next thing I immediately do is I glance over to number four, and I want to see how much, not total income, but I want to see how much rental income they brought in at the moment. So in this particular case, this was for the last day in the month of October in that year. They had $243,370 come in. So if you divide that by the monthly times 12 GPI, you'll see that their actual economic rental occupancy was 65.1%. So if physical occupancy is 82.1 and economic is 65.1, what's going on? Well, number five tells me. What does it tell me? Well, it tells me that they have $21,597 gummed up in unpaid charges. Now, in the ebook I wrote called Key Performance Indicators, one of the KPIs, key performance indicators, as an owner, we track is what we call delinquency ratio. If you are interested in that little ebook I did, there'll be a link in the comments section if you're on YouTube, and in the text on Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, episode 445, there'll be a link in the text where you can click and for free get that ebook. It shows you the five key performance indicator we tracked as owners, but one of them was delinquency ratio. Let me show you how we calculate delinquency ratio. The math for this is, in this case, we have $21,597 of unpaid charges, and I divide that by the gross potential monthly income, or $37,389, as we see in Section 3. So the delinquency ratio is 57.8%. In a well-run facility, the delinquency ratio, if it's well-run and stabilized, is typically 5% or less. Incredible. Almost 58%. This is not uncommon in many, many of the projects I look at. So what's going on? They are doing payment plans. I'll promise you, anytime you see delinquency ratios like this, payment plans are happening. Tenant can't pay the rent. They might owe $100. They walk in and say, I can pay 50. The owner doesn't want to lose a tenant. So they take the 50, and each month they get further and further and further behind. And a large percentage of that owner's monthly income stream is gummed up, dribbling in payment plans. Never take a payment plan. You're better off letting them walk for nothing. I'm not saying do that, but you're better off letting them walk for nothing and putting that rent back, that unit back in circulation, than you are getting a payment plan and messing up your whole cash flow system. You might say, well, something's better than nothing. Not in this case. Not with payment plans. Payment plans are worse than nothing. Now, as a buyer, payment plans could be a good thing, because that could be your immediate upside before you have your first rental rate increase, build your first unit on an expansion. Anything you're going to do, you can immediately begin to capture the income that's lost in these payment plans. Now, this is immediate upside, particularly if this is not an extremely overbuilt market. So how do I determine if it's an extremely overbuilt market? Well, there are subscription services you can use. I use Radius Plus, but there's a lot of other ones. Or you could do what I used to do in the old days, is I would go on Google, pull all the competition up, look for extreme discounting, call the facilities, try to get a feel for how full or empty they seem. If I see 50% off first month's rent on some of the REITs or big players, I see second month half off, something like that, that will tell me it's probably a pretty full market. If I see a 10 by 10, which should be going at $100, being offered at $50 a month, first 3 months free, that tells me that there's either a lot of lease up going on, or it's an oversaturated market. Ultimately, your feasibility report will tell you. But I tried to figure out how healthy that market is. But this report tells me that, and I can't remember this facility, but this report tells me that this owner is not running their business very well. They're getting 65% of the potential income that thing has to offer at 81% occupancy. So let's take a look at what this facility could be worth. So we're going to call this the as-is value of the project. And without having seen the facility, I really don't have any idea of the deferred maintenance. I could, look on Google Earth or Google Maps or something, try to get a feel. But ultimately, I would need to walk it. But let's just look at what the proposed as-is value could possibly be. So what I do is I take the total they've collected in number 4, 273,216. It looks like in that of 18,169 is for taxes, rent taxes. It's probably a Florida property. I can't remember, but some states charge a tax on rental income or service income. Florida's one of them. So I take that out because that's Florida's income. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So it looks like the number they've collected by October 31st that year was $255,047. That includes the rental income, late fees, and any other miscellaneous income they have. I divide that by 10, multiply times 12, and I'm coming up with $306,056 a year is what they should be getting. Not exact, but close enough. Next, I take out the percentage of what I think I could run a facility like this at as operating expenses. Let's say it's a big facility, 60-something thousand square feet. Let's just say we can run it at 38%. That gives me room to have an employee or so there. So I take the $306,056, deduct the estimated operating expenses of $116,301. That gives me a current NOI for this owner of $189,755. I'm not that interested in his NOI. I'm more interested in what mine would probably be. So in today's market, I would probably get a 7 cap. That means it's worth perhaps, don't know, but could be $2.7 million. At a 7.5 cap, we're kind of in the 2.5 range. Now, this is like where I could, in my mind, know how that facility's sitting for me in, quote, as-is conditions, as I start having conversations with the seller. I'm not saying I would offer that. I would have to look at the property, see if I could assess the seller's motivations, that kind of thing. But it's a good starting place. Did you know you could get all that information off one report? Just a random daily close? You can. Let's take one more quick look at this. And on the next one, we're going to move much quicker. So immediately we see there's upside in managing this thing right, not letting people get into the, 30, 60, 91 day column. If somebody gets into 30, we're immediately heading to auction. With online auctions, we can do one at a time. And there's no reason, unless it's an active military deployed overseas, that you would ever be having people in 90, 91, 180 days plus column. Also, I can see under section number 2, there's zero auto billing going on. And there's zero tenant insurance being sold. Those are also areas for upside. So that's all from one report. Let's take a look at another facility. And I'm showing facilities of various sizes. It doesn't matter how big they are, because this process works the same, whether you're looking at a $20 million project or you're looking at a $800,000 project. We're going to move quicker now, but let's take a look at another facility. Again, I can't remember this facility or where it was, but this I happened to get as I was looking at it, end of the year daily close out of a SiteLink program. Makes life a little easier, but this is a 25,015 square foot facility. It looks like they have 81.8% occupied. They do have some auto billing going on, 52 units out of 275. And they are selling tenant insurance. 212 units out of 275 are buying tenant insurance. That's good. I quickly glance over to number 4 and look for insurance, and I can see that out of those 212 units, this owner is getting $20,332 in tenant insurance that year. If you're not selling tenant insurance, sell tenant insurance. Now we're doing a little better, or are we, with this facility. They have, quote, 32 overlock. I go to number 2 real quickly. I see the GPI is 18,027 to be exact, which means that the gross potential income for this 25,000 square foot facility is $216,324 a year. Next, I calculate the delinquency ratio. Look at that. That is a whopping 80.1% delinquency ratio. The math is, again, total delinquency of $14,437 divided by monthly gross potential income of $18,027. Are you beginning to see a trend on how many kind of mom-and-pop facilities are being run today? Are you also beginning to see where some of your upside is? Do you know you can get all that information off a daily close? Now, there's no reason for this much unpaid charges as a percentage. You'll have some. There'll always be late, and that's good. people in the 0 to 15-day column or 0 to 30-day column. In 99% of the cases, they should never extend much past 30-day column very much, because by day 40 to 60, they're being auctioned. Now, I would bet any amount of money almost, or I bet you a Starbucks coffee, that this guy has payment plans or this person has payment plans going on. And I will often say when I look at this, if I'm at the facility and they hand me this report, I'll real quickly glance at it and I'll say, oh, I see you got payment plans going on. Very often the owner will kind of cock their head and say, how did you know? I just smile. I don't say anything, but it's quite obvious looking at this report. Don't do payment plans. Let's look at what they've actually taken in rent. Well, this is the end of the year, so they took in $152,638 in rent. The gross potential income is $216,324. So economic occupancy is 70.6%, with physical occupancy of 81.8%. That surprise is not even lower than that, but that's what it is. That's your potential upside. Now, again, I have no idea what the deferred maintenance is. I would Google satellite it or something, look at pictures or something to try to get a feel for that. But let's take into account. So let's assume that if I was going to buy this or you were going to buy this, you would get the economic occupancy up to 85% or better. In my case, if I don't think I can get something to 85% economic occupancy, I'm probably not going to buy it. But let's take a look at that for a second. So the difference between what they're getting and what it would be at 85% economic occupancy is $31,159 a year. That's how much immediate potential income there is sitting on the table, assuming it's not an overbuilt and completely saturated market, and I would have no way of getting to 85% economic occupancy, in which case I probably wouldn't buy it. But just through management techniques and running a facility like a business, that's what's, before you have your first rent increase, before you add your first new unit, that's how much money is sitting on the table that I would be calculating could be my potential upside. Let's take a look at the as-is value. We don't know the deferred maintenance, but let's just look at the numbers. He's got income of $198.56. All I did was I took the total income in Section 4 and I backed out $54.51, apparently of taxes owed. Not sure what that's about, but I assume it's not my money, it's Caesar's money. On this facility, given it's a small facility, I assume I can run it at a, let's say, a 35% expense ratio. I think that as is NOI with the current income and how I would run it is around $124,000. At a 7 cap, that's a $1.772 million value. At a 7.5 cap, it's kind of a 1.6. Now, again, I'm not saying that's what I'd offer, but I would have that number in my mind as I start talking to that seller and trying to figure out what it would take to have them sell it to me, assuming I want it after I looked at this report. Again, all this off one page. Now, I caution you, if you're using another operating system that doesn't have all this information on it, many don't, you may need to get another report or two. I don't know what ones to tell you, but you now know you want to look at delinquency or unpaid charges. You want to see some kind of detailed report of what they've actually collected. And you want to see what potential gross potential rent is, etc. Usually that's on the daily close. Now let's look at a third facility. So we look at a 62,000 square foot facility, a 25,000 square foot facility. Process is the same on a random daily close. Now, let's look at a third facility. Happens to be one I owned. I pulled this report up a month or so before we actually closed on the deal and sold it. And I picked June 31st because it makes the math easy. You just multiply times 2 to get yearly numbers. So let's look at another facility. Different size, but let's look at it. Facility number three. Now, given I own it, there's some inside information I have, and we're going to move much quicker here. Notice I didn't number it, but we now know how to move our eyes up and down this report. Now, this is a large facility, but the principle's still the same. We've looked at 60,000, 25,000, here's a 100,000 plus. I do know that we actually had 102,000 square feet of self-storage. The rest of that square footage in the total of 169,817 was parking. The gross potential income is 114,799 per month. By the way, when we bought this, it was 86,000. We did no expansion. In 7 years, we got it from 86,000 to 144,719 a month. So if you take that 114 number times 12, it's 1,377,348 gross potential income per year. Next, we calculate the delinquency ratio. On the 30th of June that year, we had a total of $3,346 in delinquency. Divide that by the 114 number, and the delinquency ratio was 2.9%. Our managers know that once we start getting over 5%, we better have some auctions scheduled or we're having conversation. So I quickly glance over to the paid charges there, payments receipts section, and I'm just right now looking at rent income. I take the 636, 445 times 2 because this was a June 30th closing. And I can see that my economic occupancy was running at 92.4%. Now, when we sold this, we had just started a company-wide mandatory tenant insurance plan, and we were in the process of penetrating the existing customer base, getting them to sign up. Once we started marketing it, we stopped on this facility because we wanted to leave that as upside for the potential buyer. So at the time we stopped, we had 78 people out of almost 935 paying tenant insurance. So we left that upside for the current, for the new buyer. And out of the 935 units, we had 649 on auto bill, which is very nice because you have all, you know, the vast majority of your monthly income in between the third and the fifth of the month. Let's look at potential values today for what these numbers would represent. Now, given that we managed it, I know that our operating expenses on this project ran at 42%, and about 42% a year. And I also know that not shown on this was we had over $60,000 a year in U-Haul commissions come in. But let's take a look at what a potential value might be today for this facility. Potential storage rental income is $1,309,156. All I did was take the 264,911 number, backed out the taxes owed, and multiplied by 2. I'm gonna, you know, some years we had as much as 66,000 in U-Haul income, but I just put in 60 for it. So total income for the project, 1,369,156. Operating expenses of 42%. Which left an NOI of 794. Today, 7 cap, 11.3 million, 7.5 cap, 10.6, we'll say. Now, when we closed on this in 2020, cap rates were a lot lower. So we actually closed in the, you know, mid to upper fives on this one. But always use cap rates of that are relevant for today. And I always go higher. So if the reports come out and, you know, 6.6, 6.75 is where the majority of facilities of whatever quality you're looking at are closing, I'll always up it a little bit as I'm buying. And so I'll know what today, I know what a 7 cap, 7.5 cap. And if it's really in a small, very small rural market, I may be using even higher than that. But I hope this helps. As we're trying to expand the way that we find and negotiate and get deal flow in our pipeline, dealing directly with owners is a really valid way of doing it. And when we deal with owners, they're often, and I get it, I'm not going to send my P&L out to somebody who calls me on the telephone. So, but this is an unintrusive way to get a lot of information that will inform you how well the project's run and what the kind of value range could be for the project as it sits. I hope this helps. Good hunting as you're looking for your next self-storage opportunity. And this is one more tool now that you can put in your briefcase to use in situations where it's appropriate. I look forward to being with you next week. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Storage World Analyzer, which we use to run the financial analysis of a project once we start getting the other relevant information, such as unit mix, operating expenses, utilities, what utilities cost, etc. You can find out more about it at StorageWorldAnalyzer.com or CreatingWealthThroughSelfStorage.com, Storage World Analyzer tab. I'll see you next week.